Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Tisha's Tea Room, the place where conversations conquer cancer. I'm your host and favorite breast cancer survivor, Tisha, and I just want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to my very first Breast Cancer Awareness Month episode. This evening in the tea room is the one and only Miss April Finley. I met this beauty a few months ago through a wonderful breast cancer organization that we are both active members of, Call for the Breast of Us. Since meeting her, we have become so close, like we've known each other for years. She is truly my sister, and I love her to death. April is a high school guidance counselor from Brunswick, Georgia, and she currently lives in Columbia, South Carolina, so shout out to my home state of South Carolina. April was diagnosed with stage 2 triple-negative breast cancer on August 2016, at the age of 35. Since her diagnosis and her remission, this breast cancer baddie has been on the move, advocating for women battling breastation for the breast of us, as well as the regional coordinator for a nonprofit organization called Compassion That Compels. April, hey sis, hey.
Hey sis, hey.
How you doing?
I am great. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I am doing well, and I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to come into the tea room and chat with me today. So before we get started, let's have a toast.
All right.
I want to propose a toast to you, Miss April, for just being the woman that you are, being the breast cancer baddie that you are. And I, again, want to thank you for coming on the show today and just being a wonderful friend, a wonderful sister, and a wonderful advocate. So cheers, cheers, cheers.
Cheers.
Clink, clink, clink,
we're
clink,
not together
clink.
To clink, but I got another glass, so there we go.
Clink, 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 clink. Absolutely, absolutely. Oh, wow. So, yes, this is, again, this is our, this is my first breast cancer awareness episode, so I am very excited and very proud of this, this moment. So, with that being said, April, let's chat. All right. So you were diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer back in 2016. So tell everyone that's listening what is triple negative breast cancer, and tell us about your journey.
Okay. All right. Well, to get for before I get started, I hope everybody has their Sunday evening wind down libation, whatever that might be. That might be sweet tea. That may be water. It might be a beverage of your choice. Whatever it is, I hope you got it, and I hope you're sipping on it while we're talking today. So to kind of get started, triple negative breast cancer. So there are three hormones that are in that women carry. You have estrogen, you have progesterone, and you have HER2. So typically breast cancer becomes because there's too much of one of those three hormones or all three hormones or two of those hormones or one of them. And in my case, all of those hormones were zero except for estrogen. I actually am 1% estrogen positive, which is not a lot. So I was treated as if I were triple negative, meaning that there wasn't too much of any of those three hormones in my body that would have caused the cancer. So typically triple negative breast cancer is found in young women of color under the age of 40, women who have not had children or women who are pregnant. It's a very aggressive disease because they're not really sure why this disease happens in our bodies. Some of it is linked to genetics. There are some genetic mutate. Well, there are genes in our bodies that fight off cancer. And I want people to understand, because it's been explained to me by doctors and healthcare professionals, that at any given time, we all have cancer in our body, but we have genes in our body that fight off cancer. So when cancer is developed, that means that there's a mutation, there's a breakdown in one of those genes that's supposed to be fighting off a particular type of cancer. So in my case, I come from a family history of breast and ovarian cancer and on my father's side of the family. My grandmother, who is 90 years old, she will be 99 on Veterans Day. She is a two-time breast cancer survivor. Three of her four daughters are breast or ovarian cancer survivors. One of my aunts passed away due to ovarian cancer. And I was her first grandchild to be diagnosed with breast cancer in August of 2016. After my diagnosis in 2016, I since have had four first cousins to be diagnosed with either breast or a reproductive cancer, meaning it was either ovarian or fallopian tube cancer. So that's pretty heavy, it
really runs heavy in your family, and that's why it is so important for families, especially Black families, to know your family history.
Absolutely.
Because we don't know. Black families, we always tend to find out after the fact.
Right.
Oh, when we get diagnosed, you know, your aunt such and such had it. Well, I did not know that. Had I known that, then, you know.
When y'all don't talk about it.
When we don't talk about it, absolutely. And that is why it is to know our family history and to know, wow, just to hear how deep it runs in your family. That's important to know for anyone that may be at risk of getting any type of cancer. So, wow. You were diagnosed at an early age, just like I was. How was your support system? What was your support system like?
My support system was nothing short of amazing. I was diagnosed at 35 years old. It was shortly after my 35th birthday. And I am the baby girl of my family. And once I received the diagnosis, my family, immediately were like, you need to come home. You need to go to the doctors up here. You need us to take care of you. You know, all these things, report to the rocket. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that.
We're going to,
you know, everything's going to be okay. I'm going to stay here in Columbia. I'm going to go to doctors here. I'm going to try to maintain my life as much as possible, because the biggest thing for me was, not that I did not want to be with my family. Of course, I wanted them to be with me and to support me through this, but my family became very upset, which is understandable, when they got the news about me having breast cancer. Did not want to. I'm a pretty positive person, and I didn't want to be in a place where I was just constantly sad, because, you know, look, it's a hard thing to look at your parents and to see them tearing up because they're not really sure what's going to happen with you. You know, all of the news that you hear about cancer is not, you know, is not positive. So I just didn't want that. I didn't want that for myself. But, you know, I'm sure we'll get into that in more detail a little later, but to answer your question, I have an amazing support system. My family, my friends, my sorority sisters, my school community, my administrative team. I have an amazing, amazing support system.
So awesome. That is just so awesome and so wonderful to hear, because that is so necessary and so needed for anyone that is battling breast cancer. That support system to help you to get through on those moments when you just don't feel like doing anything, or you just feel like giving up, and they can there to be your backbone, to be like your cheerleader, to give you that extra strength that you need just to keep pushing and to keep fighting, because I know, it, same with me, if it was not for my family, my friends, my sorority sisters, my school family, they have all, they were all my rock when I was going through my breast cancer journey, and it, I am so indebted to them to this day, because they helped me to get through and push a little bit further when, on those moments, again, like when I didn't just, I just didn't feel like doing anything. So yes, absolutely.
Right.
Having that strong support system is everything. It is absolutely everything. And we know that, you know, research states, you know, that Black women, you know, die at a 40% higher rate than white women of breast cancer. And that is a gap that definitely needs to be closed. That is a big gap that definitely needs to be closed. What are, tell us some things that you, how important is it that you feel that, you know, we need to have conversations about bridging these gaps, things that Black women can do, that can teach their daughters, their sisters, their girlfriends, of what they can be doing to definitely bridge, close that gap, so that our mortality rate can be higher?
Well, the first thing, I think the first crucial thing that we need to do as a community, and you've already said it, as a family, sit down and talk about your family medical history, whether that be cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and mental health.
Everything.
And I stress
everything.
Mental health. Everything. Talk about it. There is nothing to be ashamed of. There is nothing to be embarrassed about. That is the key to being proactive in taking care of your health issues. I found out after sharing with my family that I was diagnosed that several of my cousins have been having mammograms for years, and I had no idea. And it might have been because a majority of my family lives in the Atlanta area, and we lived in Brunswick, so we were kind of, you know, we were not, I wasn't really raised around a lot of my cousins. I only saw them on occasion. That might have been the reason that I didn't know. I knew that one of my aunts had had cancer. I wasn't 100% sure what type she had, but she did share with us that she was BRCA1 positive. I didn't know what that meant until I was diagnosed, and then I remember thinking, oh, yeah, she did talk about that. She did give me a copy of some kind of her medical information. I didn't know what that was. So I think it's the first thing that's crucial is that we need to have these conversations about our family medical history and to not be ashamed. There's nothing to be ashamed of. The second thing is that we need to teach not only our daughters but as well as our sons to do self breast exams. Check yourself once a month. Every, you know, whether it be on the first of the month, the second, whatever day you come up with, just make sure you're checking yourself and you're feeling underneath your armpits and up around your neck. Make sure that you're checking yourself and you're familiar with what's going on or any changes in your body. I started checking my breast at a very young age just because it was something I had seen on a, you know, those hanging information things that you get about breast exams that hang up in the shower.
Yep.
We used to have one hanging in the bathroom at my house, in my parents' house. And I remember looking at that, and I was like, oh, well, I guess I'll do this, you know, and I kind of did it just because I saw it, so I just figured I would do it. So I was very familiar with my own body, so that's how I was able to recognize that something was wrong. The third thing that I would say that we need to do as a community is we need to be, I think that if, how can the medical profession know that there's an issue if we're not talking about what the issues are in our community? We have to advocate for ourselves. If you have been diagnosed with this terrible disease or whatever health impairment that you may have, be be active and be an advocate for yourself. Sign up for different research opportunities where they can kind of find out, you know, what is happening? Why is this happening? Why is this so prevalent within our community? So that they, from the medical side, can figure out and come up with some answers. But if they don't have anything to work with, how are they going to figure that out? If
right.
we're not making our voices heard, how are they going to know? So I personally am an organ donor, and I know there's this myth that if you're an organ donor, they're not going to resuscitate you. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all.
right.
And I don't want anybody cutting on me. I mean, come on. I think some of this stuff is just like, I think it's just kind of silly. Like, we've got to be advocates for ourselves. So those are the
Absolutely.
Three things that I personally think is that we got to talk about our family history. We need to be aware of ourselves, and we need to be advocates, you know, so we can push for more research to be happening within our community.
Girl, do you hear me with the hammer in my hand beat the nail on the head? Because, honey, you hit it. You hit it. I hope everybody that's out there listening, she hit the nail on the head. She gave you everything that you need to do as a family, as a community, in order to bridge this gap on how we can close that gap in breast cancer in the Black community.
Right.
Thank
so
you.
We can live.
And so we can live, absolutely, and live life to the fullest. And
absolutely.
One thing that you, as you were talking, you hit it. You, one thing that you said, too, that most people really don't associate, really don't think about, rather, when we think about breast cancer, we always associate it with women. Men get it, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, men,
absolutely.
If you're out there, if you're listening, check, just like women have to check their do self breast exams once a month, men, you need to do it, too. So, you know,
yeah.
mom, not or dad, not only, you know, you need to check yourself, but teach your son. Teach your
Absolutely.
Nephew, teach your grandson what to do so that we can
Absolutely.
Live longer and fuller lives. Absolutely. Girl,
Absolutely.
You
yeah.
Did.
And
so,
I'm going to take it a step further for our couple. If the man don't want to check himself, you check him.
Exactly.
You feel around and see if you feel anything.
You feel around.
Man,
absolutely.
If she not checking, if you don't know if she's checking, you check. Make sure that, you know, you checking things out and making sure that everything's okay. But in all seriousness, definitely please check yourself. And please don't feel like, oh, this can't happen to me. Because it absolutely can.
Because
absolutely.
It can. Exactly. Because that was the one thing that I can say that one of the first thoughts that came to my mind when I got diagnosed, how could this happen to me? I was 36 when I was diagnosed. What do you mean I got breast cancer? Because I've always had that perceived notion that breast cancer happened with older people. Never thought that it could happen to younger people until I got diagnosed and learned more about the disease and learned that people younger than me were getting diagnosed. And you like, and you also said something else too. Be your own advocate. You know your body more than anybody else on the face of this earth. If you see any changes to your body, speak up. Talk to your doctor about it. Because, like,
and
you
your doctor is only
how
as good
they
as they
know?
Can do. If you're not telling them the truth, they're not going to know what's –
exactly.
If you're not telling your doctor everything, how can they help you? They can't.
Absolutely.
You gotta,
if
you
they don't know anything.
You got to tell it all.
Exactly, exactly. So thank you so much for that advice. I hope everybody was that is listening, I hope you wrote that down because she spoke some truth on that. So moving on, girl, we are in the middle of, you know, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and, you know, well, breast cancer just doesn't stop in October. Breast cancer happens every day, Monday through Friday, every day of the year. So
absolutely.
Let's talk about this breast cancer, this advocacy that you're doing, this bad ambassador, and your role with this nonprofit Compassion That Compels. So talk to us a little bit about, well, what is a a Baddie Ambassador and what do you do and your role with your nonprofit organization? So how are you getting the word out? How are you spreading the awareness?
Well, I am spreading the awareness by, and I know our time is limited, so I won't go into the long story. I'll just give the short. I was introduced into this advocacy life by a beautiful soul by the name of Ebony Price. When I was first diagnosed, I was looking for women of color who looked like me, who were about my age. I told you that I had a family history of survivors, but all of my grandmother and my aunts, they were all women who were in their mid-40s or early, mid-50s. When they were diagnosed, they had all had children. That was not the case for me. I had not had children. I was not married. I was not married. I'm not married now. Anybody listening, got a good uncle or a good brother, hook us up. anyway, this season. But I didn't have anybody who I could relate to. So I took to social media. I found beautiful Ebony, and Ebony referred me to an organization, to Compassion That Compels. Compassion That Compels supports women who are given a life-changing cancer diagnosis. So we support women with all types of cancer, not just breast.
Okay.
I started my advocacy work with them, and that was through sharing my story in different conferences and different workshops and groups, as well as, you know, praying over our sisters who are in the fight for their lives, being a mentor. And then I was introduced to For the Breast of Us, who is our community of women of color, where we support each other with a breast cancer diagnosis. And we are a thriving community on social media. We are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and we have a private Facebook group for women of color where we just support each other. We just had we have a project that was released this month called the Naked Truth Project. One of the things that I found when I was looking, you know, when you're diagnosed, you know, you go to Google, right? You go to Google, you're looking around, you're Googling stuff, you're trying to see, what is my chest going to look like when they remove my breast? And I never saw a picture of a woman of color. Never saw a picture. So the Naked Truth Project, you now have a plethora of pictures of women of color who have had mastectomies, whether it be one mastectomy or had both of their breasts removed, or if they're a flatty baddie, or if you've decided to have reconstruction, like a deep flap like myself. So there's all kind of pictures that are out there now because of this amazing community. So I also, with For the Breast of Us as a baddie ambassador, I serve as, you know, another sister who others can talk to. I just got off the phone, and this is just how I just sharing this little story. I just got off the phone with one of my students. One of my former students, actually. I was his high school counselor, and we maintained a mentoring relationship. And he shared with me recently that his mother was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I, through him, have been helping his mom, sharing information. He shared he follows me on social media, so he's been sharing my live videos and the things that I've been putting out there. He's been sharing it with his mom as encouragement and as, you know, different things to kind of prepare herself for. So one of the things I said I wanted to be for other women or men, who Ebony was for me. I wanted to be that support. I wanted to be that someone that you could go to with questions. And that's who she was for me. So Ebony has now gone on to the other side. She developed metastatic breast cancer and passed away. But my promise to her was, I'm going to be for someone who you were to me. How I got into advocacy, now my focus is to do more speaking. I would like to do more research and get more involved with the medical side of research, where how it impacts women of color with these diagnoses. I'm all in. I'm all in because we have got to put an end to these disparities. We've got to move from awareness to action, and that's where I stand. I'm moving from awareness to action so that I can help save our sisters and brothers in our community.
Absolutely, absolutely. And let's just take a moment and just cheers to your friend up in heaven, Miss Ebony. Miss Ebony, we love
yes,
you. Thank Ebony you
Clark.
So much for all. Thank you for all that you do. I know you are shining down on all of us that are in the fight and that are advocating. So cheers to you, my love. Cheers to you. For the breast
cheers.
Of us is cheers. For the breast of us is a definitely a wonderful organization, which I am too a member of that organization. But it is a wonderful, wonderful organization for women of color. And I wish that I would have this organization would have been around when I was diagnosed. I actually was introduced to this organization after my diagnosis when I was in remission. But nonetheless, I am just so proud of the work that they are doing and the work that all of the breast cancer, I mean, all of the baddie ambassadors, as well as the baddies that we are doing out in our communities and with your nonprofit, Compassion That Compels, everyone that is involved. Cheers to you for everything that you're doing and that organization. And if you are in that area, if you are someone that is going through breast cancer, or if you know someone that's going through breast cancer, please look them up, because both organizations are a great support system and resource for you to have. Love it,
absolutely.
Love it, love
cheers.
It. Cheers.
Cheers.
Clink, clink,
cheers.
Clink, clink. Cheers. So, you know, one of the things that I love about you is your spirit. You have a beautiful spirit. You're like one of the biggest cheerleaders. I just love your positivity. I love your feisty personality, honey, because you keep me laughing when we talk. So tell us how going through your journey, how did that change your perspective on life?
I don't want to say that I didn't have any moments where I never had a moment where I said, why me? You know, I never questioned that. I have a very strong faith in God, and I just feel like that there are things that happen to us in life that prepare us for the things that, you know, God wants to grant us ahead. So I never questioned why. But I did have some moments, not many, where, you know, of course, you know, you're going to have days where you're sad or where you're down, where you don't feel like talking.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Overall, if you were to ask any of my family or any of my friends, you know, how did April handle the diagnosis, they would be quick to tell you that a lot of times they look to me for strength. I just kept it moving. You know, I'm a happy person. I'm a person who enjoys life. I love love. I love people. I love to laugh. And those are the things that kept me motivated, that kept me going during the diagnosis. The hardest part of my journey, I wouldn't say it was the chemotherapy, and I wouldn't say it was having the mastectomy. You know, I was fine with all of that. Once I got over the news, I was like, let's get it. Let's get to it. Whatever we got to do, we got to fight. Let's make it happen. I was fine with that.
Right.
But one of the biggest desires of my life has been to be a wife and to be a mother.
Yeah.
And when I was faced with, when I found out that I, too, had the BRCA1 mutation, which means that I was at very high risk of developing breast and ovarian cancers, I knew that I was going to have to eventually have a hysterectomy. So
okay.
I prayed and I hoped that I would be able to put that off and maybe meet someone and be able to have a child before having to do all of that. But my oncologist continued to stress that I had to have this hysterectomy. I needed to do it, you know, once I took care of the breast cancer.
Right.
And I struggled with it. Because I knew that that meant that I would not physically be able to be a mother. Now, don't get me wrong. I am already a mother to many children as a high school counselor.
Yes, you are.
I have many children.
My dollar goes to a lot of kids who I did not birth. But I personally wanted to have that experience and that feeling of carrying a child and giving birth to a child. And that's what I wanted for myself. But I had to have the hysterectomy. I had to have a total hysterectomy. And upon having the hysterectomy, anytime you have a surgery with cancer, they're going to send your tissues off to pathology to be checked to see if there's any cancer still there, or did they find any cancer. And my pathology came back that I had another type of cancer, which was large cell B lymphoma on my ovary, which is another aggressive cancer.
Another aggressive cancer, yep.
So thankfully, because I listened to what my Heavenly Father told me to do, he told me that I got you, but you got to follow the plan. And the plan was I had to have this hysterectomy. So that has been the hardest part for me, but I am truly thankful that I did it, because had I not and maybe had become pregnant, we just don't know what would have happened. We don't know what would have happened. So I am truly leaning on my faith and believing that I one day will be a parent of my own child, and I can have a child in many different ways. So that's been the hardest part for me. But overall, I mean, I just kept on moving with my life. I continue to keep on moving with my life because I refuse to allow her to take over my life. That's just a part of my life. That's not my entire life.
That's not your entire, absolutely. That's just one chapter in your life. That's not your entire book.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. Just hearing that just gave me chills. And I'm telling you, just hear you sharing that story, what you went through and your desire to be a wife and a mother, because there may be somebody out there listening now that is probably in that same situation and feeling the same thing that you're feeling, and maybe angry at, you know, well, why, and maybe asking that why me question. But hearing you share your story may have just given them some hope. Girl, again, chills. I got chill bumps all over me. Girl, you are truly a strong woman and a strong woman of faith, and I'm just so glad that I can call you my friend and my sister. But your faith and your faith in God, again, you know, is one that you definitely will need when you are going through this, and whatever and whoever your higher power that you believe in, definitely lean on to that as well as that support system to help get you through. So, I mean, and that goes right into my next thing that I want to talk about, self-care, honey. We know that that is so important. We got to take care of ourselves. We got to make sure that we're on the up and up, that we're not about to lose our minds. So what are some things that you do to make you feel good? What are some of you like to travel?
Oh man, travel. I love to spend time with my family, with my friends. I like to go on walks. I like to visit museums. There's so many things I enjoy doing, but the thing about it is, you know, right now we're dealing with Corona, so we've got to be very careful with how we move at this time dealing with the coronavirus. You know, you got to be safe, you got to be smart about how you move. I love and I enjoy doing self-care, manicures and pedicures, and love all those things, but you just got to be careful. So right now, my big thing that I enjoy doing are Zoom parties. So, you know, we're not having homecomings. And I was on a homecoming Zoom party last night with some people who are alumni of Howard University. Shouts out to the Bison. And it was amazing. I mean, they were playing music. We were doing, you know, different little games and things. And it was great. You know, even though we could not be together, we were still present one with another through Zoom. So I enjoy doing those types of things. I love going to the beach and listening to the water.
That's
or anywhere I can go and walk by water. I love, love, love doing that.
Yeah.
And I'm also a bit of a social media junkie, a little bit. I love Instagram. I love looking at pictures of nails. I just think it's in videos of how they do. I need to take a class
how they
and start
do
learning how to do nails myself, because, I mean, it's just, there's so many things you can do, and it's just amazing to me.
Okay, so can we look for, so can we look, possibly look for April nail bar and salon coming up soon, so we can come get our nails?
I don't know if I want to do anybody else's. I just want to do my own.
You just want to do your own.
I hear you.
Yes. So absolutely, honey, I love everything that you named. I mean, I love all those things, especially you know, getting manicures and pedicures. I love going to the beach. It's absolutely one of my favorite things to do. Traveling.
Yeah.
But like you said, you know, with COVID, you know, that just put a monkey wrench in a lot of things that
a
we
lot
can
of
do
things.
Now.
So definitely have
to be careful in what we do on the outside, so that. You know, so that we won't catch that virus. But, you know, whenever this thing, you know, gets under control, and please wear your mask so we can get this thing under control.
Please
so we can get back out there
ahead,
and do those things that we love to do. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Let me ask you this. Do you have a theme song? What's the song that comes to your mind?
Do I have a theme song?
Yeah. Do you have a song
that I've been listening to? The song that I've been listening to lately, that kind of, I guess you could say, is a theme song for me. Have you heard the "I'm a Grown Woman" by Beyonce?
No. Let me add that to the list. No, I ain't heard that one.
Oh man, that's something I was introduced to over the summer, and that feels good to me. And some other things I like, you know, I like Savage by Megan Thee Stallion. I'm a little bit of a ratchet girl. I kind of like little ratchet songs. Yes.
Ain't nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with
I,
it, girl.
I love,
ain't wrong
yeah.
with it. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cause, you know, everybody has that song that when you listen, as soon as it comes on, you be like, yes, that is me all the way. Oh, my gosh. Yes. So
yes.
I think for me, of course, oldie but a goodie, Destiny's Child, I'm a Survivor, but it's just the opening part of that. I could just listen to it. As soon as it come on, be like, yep, that's me. That's me.
Yeah.
So,
I spoke at a conference, and my opening song was Mary J. Blige, Just Fine. Now, that is my song,
that
girl.
Right there?
That
girl,
is my song, because regardless of what's going on, I'm gonna be just fine.
I'm gonna be just fine.
Yeah,
you know that's my best friend in my head, right? You do know that, honey.
Mary,
because Mary is my best friend in my head.
We might need to slide in Mary DM, be like, girl, what you doing for Survivor? Let's get together. Let's have a little party.
Let's get MJB. If you out there listening, we need a song. We need a theme song. We need a theme song for our breast cancer baddie. Come on with it. All right. Well, girl, we are getting towards the end of our chat.
Already,
girl. This has been such.
This has been amazing.
Good. This has been so good. I mean, I can talk. We can talk all night long. But I know how to. You got to get ready for them.
Got to get ready for those babies tomorrow. Yes. Well, they have the day off tomorrow. But
okay.
We have a work day. Yeah, and I'll be getting out some of my senior conferences. So I got to get ready for that for tomorrow.
Well, with that being said, any last words, any advice that you would want to give to women out there that are in the fight?
Okay. My last words would be, just first of all, just for anybody who's listening, I just want to thank you for taking the time to listen to us today. to hearing my story. To I hope there was something that I said that could be impactful or that you could use in your life for my women or my gentlemen who may be fighting this terrible breast cancer disease. I want you to just continue to look to the hills. Continue to look, just continue to find positivity in every single moment of your day. Although this lemon that has been thrown at you, called you take that lemon, you squeeze it, and you turn that thing into a margarita. You hear me? You don't allow this thing to consume you.
Said
you
a
don't.
Margarita.
It's
I'm
okay to be. Yes, a margarita, not lemonade. Make that thing a margarita.
Not lemonade. A margarita.
Or it could be
or
lemonade.
About,
you know,
a lemon
if
drop
you like
martini.
Lemonade
how
more
lemon
than you like
martini?
Margarita. Yeah. Well, or whatever. You take that lemon and
a
you
lemon
turn
drop
it into
martini.
Whatever your favorite drink of choice is. Sweet tea, whatever. That's what you do with it because this too shall pass. You're going to get through this. And whatever thoughts, whatever you're thinking, whatever is what you're putting into the atmosphere. So if you're thinking negative thoughts, if you're thinking the worst, that's what's going to happen to you. If you're thinking positive thoughts, if you're being encouraged, that's what's going to happen to you because you win the battle or you lose the battle in your mind before you even start with your treatment. Hold on to that. And for my caregivers, I want to thank you and appreciate you for all that you do. I know that it is hard. I know that it's a struggle to sit and watch your loved one deal with this disease, but please be encouraged. Please be sure that you are doing things to take care of yourself. And for both my fighters as well as my caregivers, keep those negative people away from you. You don't need that extra drama in your life. Keep them away from you. That might be some family members too. Go ahead and get your spray in and spray them like you spray a cat. Get them suckers
get
out
them.
Your life because we don't have
get
time
them
for
out.
That. We're trying to live. We're trying to survive. So do what
exactly.
you can do. Do all of the things that you need to do to take care of yourself. And if you need any sort of support, you need someone to reach out to, please follow For the Breast of Us on our social media platforms, on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. If you're looking for someone in your area to possibly help you through your diagnosis, there is a baddie directory of baddies all across this country who you can speak with. Same for Compassion That Compels. Visit us on Facebook as well as we have a website. If you need someone to support you, just reach out and we will be there for you. And if you want to follow me on Instagram, my Instagram handle is my Instagram handle is Little Miss Sunshine 12, and it's spelled LILMZ Sunshine 12. That's Instagram, and you can find me on Facebook at April Finley. Just send me a friend request, and I will accept you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. The one and only Miss April Finley.
One sis, and only, baby.
The one and only. The one and only. Sis, cheers. Cheers to
sis.
a wonderful conversation tonight. This was a
love
great
you,
chat. I want to thank you so very much for taking the time again, coming out to the tea room and chatting with us on this evening during this breast cancer awareness month, girl.
Right.
And I can't wait to have many more conversations with you. You know, this is not your first. This is not your last conversation that we're gonna have in the tea room. You know, you're coming back, right?
Oh no, I'm coming just back. And look, listen, you're gonna come on over to my podcast when that starts up too.
I'm ready. You heard it. You heard it. She's getting it started. Teacher T Room is coming on. We're gonna have
That's
some
right.
good chats with our libations ready for it.
That's right.
And again, I want to thank everyone that is listening. I want to thank you again for taking the time out to listen. And I hope that you have been blessed and you got something out of this amazing, amazing chat today. I just want to send love and positive vibes to every woman, every man that is currently on their breast cancer journey, and to the survivors that's adjusting to their new normal, to the ones that are advocating out there and just providing support and love for those that are in the fight. And just to let you know that I stand with you, I support you, I'm here if you need me for anything. And with that being said, until next time, this is favorite breast cancer survivor Tisha of Tisha's Tea Room, the place where conversations conquer cancer. We're signing off, and I'm wishing everyone to stay well and to be safe. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and have a wonderful, wonderful night. Thank you, Sis.
Good night.
Good night.
Love you.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.